I don't know why you get so hung up on not being able to see.
Because I want to see you, man.
I don't want to. You know what? Turn your camera off, dude. I don't want to see you.
Nah, I'm leaving it.
I don't want to see it, dude.
I want you to look at me, dude, and just have all your deepest, darkest fantasies come through.
I put a window over it so I can't even see it. I can just hear it. I will say, though, that you're missing out on quite the unibrow, dude. I got a great unibrow, bro. I mean, I usually do, but this one is nice.
What's the purpose? Just because? Just natural?
I just grow. My unibrow grows really fast. Mm. Like, wax it. I've done all kinds of shit. It just grows back. Hey, honestly, it takes a mind of its own, man.
So, I've never noticed. You have a unibrow? I've never noticed that about you.
I have a quite the unibrow. I mean, it's not like it's a full, crazy, you know, one of those Safdie brothers fucking unibrow or something like that, but it's a fucking...
You know, yeah, it's not a full caterpillar, but...
Well, that's what I was going to say. It feels like I'm petting a little bit of a caterpillar on my nose, bridge part of my nose.
Damn it. Well, so you keeping it? What's the vibe these days?
No, I'll probably just keep it. Why not, dude?
Let it ride?
Who am I trying to impress?
me, obviously. You want me to...
I see. I'm trying to get you as hard as possible for these
recordings. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, you're trying to make me feel crazy, you know?
I need to do a beard trim. I need to cut my unibrow. I'll get some acne in. I've been drinking a lot of sweet cocktails. Got a lot of nice acne coming in.
Bingo.
My name is Stretch.
This is the last time you mess with Stretch.
And Fade.
You know, kids, let that be a lesson to you. You know, when you're drinking alcohol, people talk all this shit about your liver. That's not the worst part.
No.
It's the post-puberty acne. That's the worst part.
If you die from alcoholism, you can't hear people talk bad about you.
Exactly.
So it's all about your outward appearances. No one can see your liver.
Yeah.
You know? It can be as ugly as you want it to be.
Same thing with smoking. No one can see your lungs, all right?
Yeah, but at least with smoking, you smell bad and your teeth usually suck.
Yeah, but don't you, when you drink a ton, aren't you just like burping up acid and, you know, your eyes are looking more and more sunken in?
Not this cat, dude.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Because of my alcoholism, I look bright. I look, Voibrous? Is that a word? If it's not a word, it is now.
Yeah,
Voibrous.
Jack Daniels needs to pivot and just cut the shit, all right? Jack Daniels needs to pivot and start doing commercials like they do skin commercials, you know? Imagine if they showed a 46-year-old man against a white psych, and it's like, the all-new number 10 Jack Daniels brew, guaranteed to brighten your skin, make you more social, and overall just more attractive to your peers. And then...
Yeah, the companies lie like to an extreme to where I kind of miss that. I wish people would just bet you could fly.
Yeah.
Drink enough Coke Zero, the aspartame in it you could possibly fly.
Yeah.
And I like that at least gives you a goal.
Yeah.
And maybe one day I could fly, and I like that.
Yeah. Well, your power's been out. It's back on. How was that experience, dude? How what was it like having no power? What was it like living in 1805 for fucking 36 hours?
No, it wasn't that my power was out. It's just that these fucking imbeciles who bury fiber, which I'm almost convinced that every person that buries fiber for a living is a fucking moron.
Sure.
Like a convict and a moron.
Right.
Maybe both. Probably both.
Right.
I sit there, I'm like, hey, but for real, my power line runs through here, so watch out. Oh, definitely, man. Definitely. Next thing you know, he fucking nicks the power line. So it's not, the full power is out, but nothing can get full power. It's like the lights are on, but they hum. Computers can't be fully turned on. And I told him, I walked down, I said, hey, you nicked the power line. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do that sometimes. Just call Spectrum. And I wanted to, maybe that's what it was, dude. Maybe I was trying to call Connor like a fucking superhero, like some kind of like tiki fucking shaman statue or something I could pray to, and Connor right. would come out of the earth, because I don't know if he's alive anymore or anything, but
right.
he'd come out and, like, grab him by the ankles and fucking drag him into the tall grass. I would have loved that. But no, you know, I have to go through Spectrum and do all this stuff. This fucking electrician I was talking to, I was like, man, it's a real kind of emergency. I'll pay you to come out early. All right, well, I'll see if I can be on there Monday. I said, well, what does it mean by I'll see if I can? Is that, yeah. is that a yes? Well, I'll see if I can do it.
Yeah.
So this is the life I'm living.
That's a good phrase. I'll see if I can. That's I'm gonna decide if I feel like doing it.
Well, on it's
Monday
perfect, it doesn't
at
keep you accountable.
8:15 Yeah.
It doesn't keep you accountable at all. And that's also what I liked.
Keep you accountable?
Cannibal?
Keep you accountable?
Cannibal.
What keeps you accountable, man? Do you think you could eat someone?
Are you gonna eat somebody?
Yeah, like what in what context could you eat a person?
Any context, dude. Well, what's the situation?
No, actually, dude, don't say any. You wouldn't just walk out of this recording and go eat a person.
How tasty is the person?
Okay. All right. Fair.
Like if it's you, no. What the fuck am I going to eat?
What the fuck did I do?
Wait, is this, you didn't do it? That's the problem, is you didn't do anything. I'm like, if it's a big fatty, that's going to be sweet, dude. You have to think, too, even if you
I don't
do
think
it,
so.
Like
I think if you... No, stop. I think if you brined me...
No.
If you brined me for 12 hours, I think you'd chow down, bro.
I think you think that you're, like, really good like fried chicken skin.
No, I don't actually
think
that
at all.
The
best part of it. I think you do.
No.
I think you're like, I'm the best part of this. People don't even care about the meat underneath. They just care about the surface.
No. Tell me this isn't true. Tell me my ass cheeks, deep fried, wouldn't be a nice, tasty little appetizer. Just two little wontons.
Dude, I was watching you walk. I was watching you walk at the F1 race. You know what I mean? And I was like, Noel unironically walks and looks like, from a distance, looks like Dakota Fanning from War of the Worlds. I was like, you look just like Dakota Fanning from War of the Worlds.
I don't.
Complexion and everything.
Let me look up Dakota Fanning. Complexion and
everything. Yeah, let me look up Dakota Fanning. Okay,
dude. Dude, I don't know.
47 years old.
She
was a huge actor when we were, like, she is our age.
I don't know. Like, I'm very bad with names.
Type in Dakota, and don't look up normal. Type Dakota Fanning Man on Fire.
Okay.
There you go. First off, great movie. Probably my favorite Denzel movie, dude.
Yeah, I've heard insanely. You think I look like this?
So, okay. Right there, go down and slide to the left where it's Denzel and her holding hands. That was basically Noel and Alina on the right side there. Walking through, he's like, hold on, I'm going to get a quesadilla. He walks off, and that's what they look like down there walking around.
But I look like Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, well, just the legs, I guess.
Just the legs, yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy thought. I didn't realize I looked that good from the back.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Child Dakota Fanning.
That's
so
what you said, man. You were like, you looked fucking hot from the back. You look just like Dakota Fanning from
Men. I don't think that that's what I said.
You resemble
a 7-year-old white child from the back. Is what I said. Walking far away, I was like,
dude, you're dodging the question.
No, Noel.
You're dodging the question.
Would I eat you? I would eat you, dude.
You would eat me? No.
I'd eat you out of spite.
No, dude. No. No, I want you to tell the truth. You'd enjoy those two wontons made from my ass cheeks.
The best part about you, dude, is that you would fit in an air fryer.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it'd be easy. It'd be the easy cleanup.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a fucking, I'm a TV dinner for a cannibal person. I'm a TV dinner. Easy. Pull me out the freezer.
Did you ever like TV dinners? Did you ever eat a Hungry Man when you were younger?
Not a Hungry Man, but I ate like... I can't remember the brands, but they never felt like the main brands. They always felt kind of off. Like, you could have tasted the plastic in it, you know?
Yeah. Like, one time I was at Walmart when I was younger, like probably like 17 or 18, right? When I, like, right before I was starting to lose weight, I'd go there and I'd buy Lean Cuisine pizzas.
Mm.
And it was right. What's the fucked up thing about that at Walmart is the Lean Cuisine health food microwave pieces are right by like all of the ice cream and shit.
Yeah, that's a nice little trick they like to play.
Yeah, they're like, how convicted really are you? How prepared really are you for this challenge? I sat there and I started to grab my, you know, like 4 or 5 of them just for the week. And this big old fat lady came up and said, she's like, I don't think that's going to work. And she grabs like three of those Ben and Jerry's like cookie dough ice cream thing.
Right.
And I'm not even gonna lie, I saw that as a sign from God, and I put it back, and I got some ice cream instead. I was like, there's no fucking way. I was like, to even have somebody come say that, I was like, God is speaking vicariously through this woman.
Yeah.
Is how I saw it.
That ain't gonna work. And you're like, you're damn right it's not.
It ain't gonna work. And then looking back at it, I'm like, I'm almost positive she has done the Lean Cuisine thing. She's like, why am I still so big? I'm so big.
It's you didn't even let me finish this in our last episode. You didn't let me finish my fucking Bill Clinton rant about Andy's.
Oh, what was it?
I was just gonna say every time I'm in the Midwest, I just love to go get ice cream and see it served by the good American people. That's all I want to say. It's my politician line. No, it's pretty awesome how you can just kill yourself with food in this country. Dude, the Midwest, it's fucked up. You know, just the Andes next to the Wendy's, next to the other thing. It's just a triple whammy. You know, the gas station with all the bullshit in it. You can load the
You know, they're all fucking lab rats, all stupid, fat, fucking ugly people in the middle of the country that aren't worth a shit. Yeah, I mean, whatever, dude. It's just fodder. It's the reason that the economy in this country keeps circulating is people in the Midwest are just dumb enough to buy fucking anything and consume it and be dumb and talentless, ugly, and whatever else, you know? I fit right in here, too. I'm not even trying to be half near judgmental. I'm just saying that's just like the way it is, you know? And there's a reason why, like, L.A., why everyone's, like, kind of attractive and then it's, like, hipster Italian joints and stuff. Which, I mean, I don't vibe with. I'd rather have the Wendy's than the Andy's. I'm just saying.
No, I think people in L.A. are just skinny because it's too expensive to eat crazy. Otherwise, they'd be all over it, you know? Between the cocaine and the $100 pastas, there's just no money left to be, you know, to be degenerate, visibly degenerate, you know? But they are. We're all just we're a big fucking sick pile, aren't we?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just middle of the country.
Oh, just okay. Yeah, for sure.
I think literally it's just the literal chili bowl that is known as the Midwest that is just full of just twos and threes trying their best. And that's all you can do, dude. You know, like that's just like that is it.
Yeah.
And I have a deep rooted respect. And I think because of that too, the Midwest it operates in a different way. It's a lot slower, it's a lot more methodical.
Yeah.
It's a nice dance.
Yeah.
You know, people, the dreams have died immediately. You know, it's just like, I am happy with this job that I know no other person on earth would be happy with. And I'm okay with that because me, my ugly wife, and my ugly kids all live under an ugly house in the middle of the country. And that's just what it is. Midwest. And honestly, in that respect too, it's actually heaven. Because of it. It's actually heaven.
The Midwest. Come live here with your ugly ass family.
The Midwest, where reality strikes true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing ever. Yeah, like obviously I'm going to start to work on the new hour and I've like put up my new dates. And my favorite thing is when people message me and go, why the fuck would you come back?
They're too young. They're too young to realize that they're just not going to do anything with their life. The sooner you grasp that shit, the sooner that you find that prosperity, dude.
Which is what? Just nothing happens in the Midwest?
That, like, you, especially like younger kids, they bitch and complain about the Midwest, and they might try and go to do things, but they'll fail because they're from the Midwest. And they're talentless. So the sooner that you can realize that, like,
dude, that's not true. Kansas City has a bunch of fucking winners, man.
Who?
Ain't Paul Rudd from KC?
Does he live here now? Don't think he does.
I'm laughing at Scientology just being based. It's just a religion for like elitist people in the Midwest to be like, no, I'm an alien. I need to escape this and go to LA to my headquarters where I belong with all the people doing cocaine and the odd people. I'm not like these ugly families out here.
I love Paul Rudd, dude.
Yeah. I thought Kansas City has at least three impressive people.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Kansas City has at least five impressive people.
Kansas City is full of the people that I love most in the world. Midwestern, hospitable people who are just troglodytes. And there's no expectations of looks or talents. It's just people simply trying to go day by day. And that's what I love. Honestly, you get the best conversations that way. I love all the food in Kansas City. It's nice.
You know,
really I really do love living here.
First of all, I had such a, I don't know, man. It's like, I'm not trying to blow smoke. I genuinely had a good time coming out this weekend. And, it was funny on my way to your place for this, should not be the most complicated costume in the world. I had to go buy a screwdriver, so we stopped in at this Home Depot, and it was so endearing. The lady who was the cashier, literally one cashier in this fucking megaplex Home Depot. I thought that was just so poetic. And this girl, I should say this young woman, I actually don't know her age, but she's just telling everybody her life story. I was standing there for, I'm not exaggerating, 10 to 12 minutes as she just gives this life story to this guy who just was buying like a couple pieces of lumber and some bolts. And then I get up there and I got my own life story. And I was just impressed with how much fucking material she had for the two people in the building, man. Like in LA, it's just, they don't say shit to you. They just ring you out and kick you out. But she told me when she gets off of work and how the rain affects her mood and her fucking body. And, you know, she doesn't want to work late and she's getting depressed. And I didn't have to say a word. I just walked up and handed her the screwdrivers and I got all this fucking info. It just made me wonder, like, on a daily basis, on how much information you intake from strangers.
And none. I wouldn't do that shit. I want to play that. I'm not trying to hear about your stupid, stabby, sad life, dude. Oh, is the rain coming down? It's coming down for all of us, you dumb bitch.
Check
it out and fucking let it go. God damn.
No, it wasn't
Tank fucking forever, dude. Good Lord.
It wasn't even sad. It was just like, oh man, it's coming down pretty hard out there.
Yeah. That's what I'd say. Yeah. Yeah, I have eyes too. Cool. I want to leave this building now. Thanks. This is not the time. I'm sorry. Hey, I don't even say I'm sorry.
I was definitely stressed out. I was wondering when, because that was the funny part too. It was like I handed her the screwdrivers and the immediate instinct was not to scan them. It was to hold them and talk to me. I'm like, all right, man, at what point am I socially allowed to be like, you'll scan that shit?
Immediately, as soon as the person whose job it is to scan the fucking item, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Let's also, that's your fault for going to a Home Depot and not just using self checkout. Home Depot has the
no, they were closed
checkout.
They were closed. It was no self checkout. You had to go.
That's fucked.
Yeah,
I'm like, why is it? That's where I interrupted. She's like, yeah, it's kind of wet. I'm like, why is it self checkout open? Because self checkout at Home Depot is sick. You get a little laser gun. You get to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. I've cosplayed as a blue collar guy every now and then. You know, I've bought me
very
a
blue collar.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, appreciate.
I think you're a very blue collar guy.
When I buy my annual Ryobi battery to fucking hang up a stupid poster in my house.
Dude, don't talk shit about Ryobi.
No, Ryobi's garbage. I can say that much.
It is terrible.
That's a fucking geeky-ass brand, dude.
It's funny when people are like, well, I mean, sorry, I don't have enough for Milwaukee or DeWalt.
Yeah.
Dude, why don't you save 50 more fucking dollars? How hard is it to go and get 50 more dollars, dude? Holy fuck.
Well, when you're a guy like me, that's a lot of penis to suck, you know?
When you're a guy like me, it's hard to save money because I have many lives.
Yeah, man. You know, yeah, you're spending it all at the gas station. You know, on your way home, spending half your paycheck on the lottery tickets. And then you're like, fuck, I should have used that on my DeWalt drill.
I should have, man.
That was an overlapse of judgment. I should have used that for my DeWalt walking.
When was the last time you looked up a tool on YouTube and just read through all the fucking all the guys commenting on how shit a brand is?
I've only actually ever seen that, not on YouTube, but I started seeing, because I started seeing people do like, on my TikTok feed, I started getting a lot of people doing like, I don't know, construction shit.
Yeah.
So funny, like watching guys be like, dude, brother, you're doing it completely wrong. Brother, you're doing it completely wrong, honestly. Also, you need to switch up your tools, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Did you ever work with guys like that when you were like doing framing and stuff?
No, they're all Mexican.
Mm.
Which Mexican guys, let me tell you something. Those Mexican dudes, like 50, like mid-50s or whatever, which I'm not like the most in shape guy or anything, but those dudes can work all day.
Like, oh, it's crazy.
Laps and laps and laps and laps around you.
It's crazy.
More of the framing and like cement pouring and stuff like that. Like, we did a lot of sidewalk work and stuff. Like, it was just trying to keep up with them. It sucked too, because I had no interest really in doing it either. Like, it's not like I was ever like, let me learn.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of like, what the fuck do I? Well, also, it was like when I was doing that shit, I also worked at like, the last construction gig I had was in Carlsbad, which is Southern California next to like San Diego, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, I've been.
I was homeless out there, and I was trying to, I worked like the concrete pouring. I also worked at Walmart Photo Center while they still had one. I don't know if they have photo centers anymore.
You said you were homeless?
Huh?
You said you were homeless? Yep. You were just living out the car?
Yeah, I lived in my Dodge Caliber.
Mm.
Lived in my Dodge Caliber, and then I would try to do animation tests and stuff from my car. And I bought like Dodge Caliber had like a 12-volt battery thing.
Right.
I probably swapped the fucking battery on that car like 4 or 5 times. But I just fucking, I'd sleep in the Walmart parking lot, because that's where I'd get the least amount of loitering tickets. And then I, across the street, they had an LA Fitness, and I had a membership there so I could take showers.
Got it. Was that ever, I mean, obviously it's a fucking hard ass look to just walk out of work and then you're like, all right, I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to pass out in the car now. Or was there any period of that you enjoyed?
Yeah. I mean, I say this a lot, too. I think that it was the drive of wanting something.
Mm.
Like, I was happy because I was not in my city doing things that I felt would put me in a place that ended up like my dad or something.
Right.
I was happy enough to be out there and, like, work. I mean, I had my Cintiq in my lap and a fucking like MacBook in
the
passenger seat, and I would draw and try to do these animation tests. And I suck, and I never got any work. But I think, I was probably happier then than I am now. You know, I said that a lot. I was like, I'd fuck up. You know, was it hard? Did it suck? Did it suck sleeping in a 2008 Dodge Caliber? Yeah, that did suck, but. Like, I think it was at a point in my life where I'm like, I was probably like 22.
Mm.
I'm 22. I mean, like, I don't owe anybody anything. I don't have a wife or kids or whatever.
Yeah.
The only person I'm affecting is myself. You know?
Right.
So I was like, out of all the times I could have done it in my life, I think I did it in the best time. Yeah. And I think it was a big wake up call too. Just like, you know, you're not as good as you think you are. And this is going to be a lot harder than you expect.
Yeah.
Thing. But I was excited, and I was like really motivated to keep going.
Do you have any of those, like, are any of those animation tests super memorable to you? Like, are there any of them that stand out to you? Because I don't think we've ever talked about this. Like, were they for big studios, or was it just like random?
Yeah, like a couple of them for Titmouse, but it was like a lot of it was like Adult Swim projects, because Swim's budgets are just really low.
Right.
So I think they take on a lot of new talent for new shows because they know that they can pay them kind of shit. But I was just like, I'll take whatever.
You know? Sure.
And I remember I got this break because this woman texted me and she was like, hey, I think that you'd be a really good fit on the show. We're going to send you a test, whatever. And I did the test and it was cool. And coincidentally, I ended up knowing the showrunner of this guy. And he's still very good friends with me today.
Mm.
His show was bought And then they just canceled it. Like 2 weeks before I was supposed to like kind of figure out if I got this job or not. They're like, oh, we're just not going to do it anymore.
Ah,
I was
tough.
Devastated. Yeah.
Jeez.
I was like, holy fuck. And that's why I had to move back to Kansas City. I got like $5,000 or $6,000 in debt from loitering tickets.
Wow.
And I just like was like, I can't fucking do this. So I'm going to move back to Kansas City.
Was it just the sheer amount of tickets or was it a small
amount? Yeah. Well, it was like, it was bullshit. I would go to places that were like 24/7.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, if it's during operating hours, right, they don't care. But I got loitering tickets there. I got loitering tickets parked out front of the gym and stuff. And it was just because it was just like this one dickhead cop that just kept like, see, I don't know if it was his area or not, but I was trying to park and sleep in parking lots and stuff. And
just did he ever know you at a point or was he just?
We became kind of acquainted. I mean, I won't say his name, his last name or anything, but I just like, because I talked to him a couple times. Like there was a couple times I woke up because a lot of the times he did it while I was sleeping and it was like during the middle of the night and then wake up and there'd be a ticket.
What a dick move.
And there was one time I left a note being like, please knock on my window before you give me a ticket. And he did it one time. And he was like, you got to go. And I said, are you the dude that keeps giving me tickets? And he was like, yeah. And I said, well, why? Like, yeah. Can you not just knock on the window? Because usually like with other homeless people, well, to be fair, they're not in a car.
Yeah.
But like if they're sitting on like a bench, they'll just be like, hey, you got to go.
Right.
Or whatever. And the thing too is like there for a while, he was like, well, your windows were obscured because I used to put cardboard pieces up in my windows so people could see me.
Right.
While I was sleeping. Because first, I mean, you know, I was a new homeless and I was kind of, you know, a bit like, it feels weird having people be able to look at me while I'm sleeping.
Right.
But that, you know, but then after a while, I was like, okay, well, I won't do that anymore. But he still kept doing it. And it was just, it was very frustrating. Extremely, extremely frustrating.
How long was that? Period of life.
I was probably homeless 4 or 5 months. Probably.
Yeah. And then the whole time, you know, you're working at Walmart Photo Center and doing construction.
Yeah, trying to pay bills and stuff and trying to pay for like my phone. And
when you work construction, were you like W-2'd or were they just, you know, cash pay at the end of the day?
That was cash pay. That was like everybody was pretty much cash pay. I'm pretty sure I was working with a bunch of illegal guys too. But the foreman that owned the business, he would just like give you some cash at the end of the week. So we just got cash payouts at the end of the week.
Got it.
The Walmart one was obviously dummy too.
Yeah. When you say you did sidewalk work, was it just like random neighborhood shit or were you doing stuff for the city?
No, more commercial. Yeah, city stuff. Like stuff, like additional stuff. I'm like, really weird shit in LA that I see is like there's sidewalks in the middle of like not like major highways, but like definitely like 4 lanes of traffic. They would add a bunch of sidewalks to that.
Because people got it.
Well, apparently want to walk, but that stuff or repairing stuff for like strip malls, you know, like,
yeah.
Like if somebody was like we did walk for a Chick-fil-A one time. So it's just like the outside of a Chick-fil-A, you know, like shit like that.
Thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. I remember I would sit outside and just people watch him going to the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You don't even know how hard it was. You don't even know that I fucking crafted that sidewalk for you.
Yeah. And you would go eat there and just wait for people to walk
up. Do I get a discount or
what? Oh, man. This is in the cross with some family and they're like enjoying themselves. Like, you like that ADA ramp? Huh? Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. That I wait for the one guy with a wheelchair. You're welcome. You're welcome, buddy. Hey, smooth sailing, right?
And you don't even explain. You're just smiling and saying,
"Yeah." He's like, "It's okay, I guess." I'm like, "You son of a bitch!"
Damn, that's crazy, man. Unironically, the cardboard pieces in the window. That's how many weeks in as a homeless did you decide to do that, or did it take a while?
It was like night one.
I won, yeah.
Yeah, I was really kind of like frightened. So I was like,
"Yeah, of course."
Carlsbad is like, it kind of reminds me of Florida, where it's like, it's a lot of old, like conservative people live there.
Yeah,
I think it's like kind of like a retirement community town.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of like drug addicts.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
and, like I remember the first couple of nights I tried sleeping because there was like an open parking lot. It was kind of on the outskirts, but it was by the beach.
Yep.
And I was always like, oh, this is kind of nice. I would correct my windows. You could hear like the waves kind of roll in, and it was nice. But like some dudes came up and they didn't see me laying in there because my seat was on the way back, and they tried popping the hood of my car.
What?
Taking shit. And I was like, huh. I was like afraid to even say anything.
Yeah.
So I just like honked my horn, and the guys like, you know, ran off like a couple of fucking like raptors from Jurassic Park. Yeah. And like that kept happening anytime I did that. So I was like, if you stay more in town with like, I just started sleeping under stuff that had like tons of lights.
Yeah.
Mostly. But then because of that too, I was like, it was so bright that I initially did it because I didn't want people to see me, but then also just to like make it more dark inside of my car.
Yeah. So you didn't have tent. So you were putting up cardboard on all four doors.
Yeah.
Damn. Some big ass windows on that thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really not a big deal. I mean, it's not like they were like perfect or anything, but it was just like, it was like, I think four panels I put up.
Yeah.
Passenger, driver, back seat windows, and then back window. And
because you were an art student, did you like cut them to shape, or was it just some bullshit that you just threw up?
It was mostly some bullshit I just threw up.
Got it.
My art degree, it would be very, very sad. I think that there's a lot of times where I wanted to blow my brains out for getting an art degree. I was sitting there and I was like, this is cool. I love being homeless.
Yeah.
This is sick.
Yeah.
This is really cool.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I had like a sense of pride too. Like, I was just like, some of my friends from college, like really good animator buddies, I remember I was like, I had talked to them for years because. And this, which looking back on it now, it's so stupid, but I was so mad because we sat there like first semester of senior year. And I was like, I'm thinking about going to California. When I graduate, we should go. I try to get jobs out there. Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And of course, as soon as time came to do stuff, they were like, no, I'm thinking about getting a motion graphics job, like all this stuff that we would say that we hated during school.
Right.
And I remember I was just so fucking, so mad and like resentful towards them
that they wouldn't pursue the dream.
Yeah. Or just like also the thing too, of like the camaraderie. I was more so upset that it was like, you guys don't even want to try.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I felt alone in the dream kind of thing. Like I felt alone in the ambition to be like, I don't want to just work a motion graphics, graphic design job or something, which more power to people that do want to do that. But I was like, I would work construction. That's just not the kind of job I want to do.
Yeah.
So, but I was upset. I was like, this is the time to do it. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm coming, you know, they're offering me $38,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, $38,000 a year, dude, which when you're fresh in college and whatever, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. This is a super solid salary.
But I was just like, just so bummed.
Yeah.
I remember they would text me and shit. I didn't talk to them for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was just so bitter.
Yeah. What was it like a pact? Like, was it like all of you were supposed to go do it for sure? Or
wasn't it like a pact, but it's like, if it's like, I always tell people it's like, if you and your bros were like, let's go skinny dipping, and you're the only asshole like naked and you're fat and you look fucking stupid, you're like, well, I feel really fucking dumb. You know what I mean? Well, but it's like, you kind of hope that your friends would want to just do it, to try it. Because the whole thing, too, is like, you can always get out of the water.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that was the thing, too, is like, fucking journey of me with my career and stuff. It was never like, I wouldn't even say it's like a good one, but it's just a thing of like, persistence, continuing to grow, and then just like, keeping your eye fixated on the initial goal you have, because that's the thing, is like, you're never going to go into any career path. I don't give a fuck if you're an electrician or if you're trying to be like a fucking circus juggler or something.
Yeah.
You're not going to just like get up and just get it. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, and a lot of people, what happens is they will try something and then they will give up because it's hard or they are broke or whatever.
Yeah.
And they will take an easier route.
Yeah.
That is safer. It's more secure. And I think a lot of people are smart for doing that. I think the people that like push through and you go through the hard shit, I think those are the people that also are able to like reach a different level of success and happiness or like fulfillment, which, you know, me and you, I don't think we're like the happiest guys in the world, but I think that like I'm at least extremely fulfilled with what I'm doing. Like I feel like I have, it feels like an actual purpose versus a lot of the jobs I had before just felt like it was a paycheck, which I think is a big difference.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I mean, this is, we never talked about it in depth. We've never gone in depth about this, you know, like you've kind of given me just short commentary here and there about this. So this is like super interesting. But also, yeah, I think there's an interesting thing about perseverance too, where like, not to be whatever, but after putting out the special, I've been having this weird thing where, I'm very happy with the direction it's gone, but then I have these weird moments where I think, you know, oh, did I suffer enough for this? Which is really corny and really lame to think, but it's almost just like a weird, I don't know if you get this, but when you push through.
Question of your own legitimacy.
Yeah, I think there's like this weird thing where when you push through difficult times, you just get used to things being ass. So it's almost like you kind of convince yourself that things need to be ass to be valid. It's this really dumb thing that I don't think I'm unique in experiencing, but I don't know if you get much of that these days.
I think my own envy blinds me a lot of the time. I think I think I hyperfixate on the successes and the triumphs of others, even in a way where I wish they didn't have that, but I look at that thing.
Yeah.
And the envy of that blinds the own experience that I'm having. That is the speed bump that completely derails the forward momentum that I have.
I just have to say that part is so weird too, because it's such a weird thing to explain, because you're not competitive with other people. It's definitely with yourself. You know, you want, and I don't want to speak for you, but I guess with me, you look at what other people are doing in their career and you're like, oh fuck, like I need to pick it up, or I need to this, or I need to that. And it's just this weird thing where, because everything is so public and other people's success seemingly can be measured, you have no idea if they're in like crazy debt or something like that off of a project or whatever. But yeah, it just becomes this thing where, you know, something that could be inspiring, you almost turn it into, oh man, did I make this? I don't know if you do this, but I'll do this where I'll think, damn, did I make a mistake here? Should I have done this at this time? And it just becomes this weird hyper analysis on yourself at all times. And it's I think this happens in other fields as well, but I do think it's very weird when, specifically by entertainment, like everyone's career is so visible and can so, you know, publicly be measured. It just inevitably creates like a weird ass headspace to be in for yourself. So yeah, I guess that's a long way of saying I relate to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody has their own ways. I mean, I look at a lot of the my own insecurities come through by wanting validation from other people I respect in my field.
I
look at other people's videos and these like extreme triumphs and these things where I'm like, I want to feel happy for this person.
Yeah.
And I look at their comment section and I feel a lot of jealousy and envy because I see all these other people that I enjoy comment on their stuff, where they don't comment on my stuff or something.
Sure, sure, sure.
Which feels very petty, but the same way I just translate that is like, it's just, I think all I want is that like respect, I guess.
Yeah.
And to just have somebody be like, I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not just coming from some like fan, but coming from somebody where I can look at them and be like, I really love what you're doing in your art.
Mm.
And to have that mutual respect amongst the community of like creators and stuff, which, you know, I've grappled with that a lot too, because part of me too is also like, I don't want to just like take these routes of being like the artist that's doing shit, you know, like you have to do it this way or whatever, because I'm trying to make a business. I'm trying to like be profitable and have like a better life for myself and fund other things. But there's many times where I look at that and I'm like, I'm like begging or like hoping to God that like other people come together from the platform or something that can be like, I really love this or something.
Yeah, it's pretty, Well, I have to thank you for this because just that whole, questioning yourself thing, it's like really hard to navigate solo at times. And then it feels lame to like want to reach out to friends and like be like, is this good? So, you're at least with, since we've been working together, like you've always been massively just supportive and like unpromptly like vocal, like weirdly at times where sometimes I'm really in my head and then you'll just shoot me a line. And yeah, it's crazy how that has just like such an impact on your ability to keep going. And I get why in entertainment, you'll see people like band together because, it's hard to believe when like a bunch of strangers are going, yo, this is awesome. Like sometimes you need that like tangible person who, you hold in high regard, and they can just give you that, even that simple note of being like, yo, this is solid. Like, congratulations. It's sometimes it's just as simple as that. And you go, okay, fuck, I can breathe a little bit. And
yeah, it gives it the validity to it. Mm-hmm. I think makes it something of substance there.
Yeah.
That's something that I've really grown to despise too with doing stuff online and trying things and stuff is like, I feel like I put out these questions and it's weird because you don't want to like ask creator friends all the time. And it's nice to like approach your community and your fan bases with stuff, but the parasocial relationships of things is extremely difficult. The way that people like interact with their like creators and stuff is just extremely fucked.
Yeah. And sometimes it's obviously a really complex thing to answer, and I'm not even going to try to do it right now, but I just think the way social media has completely shifted, and I'm not about to do a long commentary on it. It really is just kind of wild how with algorithms specifically now, people are just kind of, your phone is just obviously a television, but the way that it personalizes it to you, and then how that how these things you're observing can just feel like, oh, this is mine, like it's in my hand, and you just get like some really sideways feedback from people where you're like, bro, we don't know each other, and I'm just trying to do my thing, and I'm just trying to make something that people enjoy. And then when people get just really weird about the feedback that they want to give you, it's like some people just completely forget you're a person. And I'm not about to go down this fucking street either, but yeah, the parasocial thing really is wild. The greatest example I can point out is I've talked about it a few times now, but when I was in Scotland, this dude, I was just, people hung outside the venue, so I popped out and I was just like taking pictures of people or whatever, and this dude got so jazzed to see me, and like we go take a picture and he just fucking full palms my ass, like thinking like we're boys. And
yeah, it's fucked.
I just remember thinking, dude, like you just completely violated the fuck out of my space. But yeah.
I don't know. I've never had somebody sit there and physically assault me that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't do. Which also I say physically assault as if, I mean, just in the way of just being like, dude, this, the fucking, the personal space has been breached, my friend.
What would you do, man? Just a rabid 24-year-old dude runs up to you. He's like, me, Canyon, man, I love your shit. And he just full arms you and just starts nuzzling in between your chest, just nose to chest. Just.
I feel like I'd be like, okay, thanks. I think it'd be that a lot. If it was one of those slaps to the ass where it was also like the middle digit is kind of like slipping between the crack or something, that's where I might be like, okay, hey.
You know what I mean? Just slides his middle finger up your ass. Just fucking.
Yeah. He's like, that's just trying to make like a little, he's trying to press that fucking, that's easy, but
yeah.
That's fucked up. That would definitely fuck me up. I'd definitely be like, weird. You need to step two steps back.
To slide up your ass crack.
Yeah. I just say congratulations because I know he's married.
Oh, congratulations.
What's your favorite city? I mean, your special's coming out again, or you're going on tour again, I should say. What's your favorite city to go to? Where are you stoked to go to?
Unironically, if I put it in top three, it's going to be KC is top three. And that's unironic. It's just, dude, Alina, bro, I didn't really even get to go in detail with you about this. I'll name my other two cities in a second. Who cares? But we went to that Andes where we were staying. Mm-hmm. And I could just feel like it's a good thing we don't live there, because if we had a gun in the trunk, I think Alina would have hopped out, pulled out that fucking Benelli and just held it up to the window and was like, stop lying to me.
Oh, yeah, because you guys were saying that they said that the fucking there's like no chocolate left or something.
Yeah, and they go, we ran out of chocolate and vanilla. And
how?
I mean, that was Alina's face. I could see her pointer finger just reaching in the glove box for an invisible fucking revolver. And I was like looking back at the cashier or whatever going, hey, listen, man, my wife really wants this cream. There's nothing you can do in there for her. And they were like, no, we ran out of vanilla and chocolate.
What'd you guys do then?
We went across the way to a McDonald's, but there was a super hilarious, like, positive experience out of that. So we get to the first window and, you know, the person ringing us out is just completely checked out. And Alina goes, should we get an apple pie? I say, yeah, sure. So I turn to the cashier and I go, can we add an apple pie to that? No. I fucked up and I said, do you have any apple pies left? I gave her the option to exit.
Mm. She said, no.
Dude, are you looking at me right now?
Yeah.
Like, just like the disdain, like she played me. She's like, the fact that you even phrased it like that, dumbass. Of course I'm.
Yeah,
that.
Of course. Checkmate, dude. You just checkmated your fucking self. Are you kidding me?
I just threw out all my pieces at the top of the game.
I kind of wish that she would have looked at you and just be like, nah.
Nope.
Nah.
So then I get to the second window. And the gentleman working the second window, he, you know, for full context, little flamboyant, you know, but it adds like a beautiful. So I pull up to the window and he just soy jacks me. He just goes,
yeah.
You're no way.
No, and it was more of like a, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
And I go, what's up, man? How are you doing? And he's like, it just frozen soy jack. And he goes, I watch you all the time. And I go, oh.
Hey, hook brother up with an apple pie.
I didn't even say that. I didn't even have to. He knew what wavelength I was on. I just leaned out a little bit and I said, hey, man, you got any apple pies left? And then.
Where?
The smile he gave me. It was like, you know.
Did he come in it?
Huh?
Did he come in it?
No, it was more like
how positive are you actually? Think about it for a legitimate second.
I don't know.
Because he walked away, didn't he?
Well,
to go get it, didn't he?
He did, but yeah. I don't know if he came in it because I was, you know, when I broke out the apple pie, I got on my knees and I sprayed it all over my face, and then I was like pushing it.
I legitimately think that there is a world where. You might have gotten cum in that apple pie.
Maybe, man. The smile he let me have.
If you knew after the fact, actually, here's a kind of a question for you to end the podcast on is, if you knew that a guy was like, oh my God, I'm a big fan of yours, blah, blah, blah. This isn't you saying that you're mad, because obviously you can be mad. But after the fact, he watches you eat the whole thing up. You're like licking your fingers and shit. You know, goddamn, that's good. Wow. And he comes up and he's like, I can't remember that. Obviously you're mad. But do you think that you would have, would you be mad that, or would you think that it's gay to like it or something to where you're like, I have to say that you get on the defense? Or would you just be like, you know, that really, you had no idea that there was cum in it before? Or would you just be like, you know what, like honestly, afterwards, that didn't even like affect the taste?
I think it
might. Like, would you be tripped up in that way?
You know, I think it'd be one of those like, like the ending of Old Boy, you know? I go see a psychic and I say,
yeah.
I just cut out my tongue because I ate a cum-filled apple pie, and I would just like to forget. And then she goes, sure. And then she does the little, you know, look at that tree.
I think if a guy came up to me and did it, my fat ass is still chewing it, and he's like, by the way, I came at. But I had no idea that it was in there. I'd probably just be like, oh man, really? Come on, man. It'd be that. But at the same time, too, I'd be like, I did not at all taste the cum. If anything, I'd be like, I would be really curious. Or if anything, I'd probably be like, if I couldn't taste it, I'd be like, you must be a diabetic or something.
Dude, I'm just...
You know how diabetics' pisses are sweet? Their cum's probably sweet, too.
Yeah. Hey, this is bullshit. I made that joke last week, and you gave me flack for that. And here you are.
What is it?
Talking about sweet cum off a diabetic. You're like, I don't think that's how that works. And here you are talking about eating some sweet cum.
I don't think that's how that works. Yeah.
I'm just laughing at your Midwest polite taking over. Dude's like, I jizzed in that. And you're like, oh, no way.
Damn it, man. Come on, man. Really? All right. You know, you also never gave the viewers one. This is what pissed me off, dude. I want to end the pod.
You want two more shots?
I don't even want you to respond.
Okay.
Because I want to have the last word.
Okay.
We recorded the episode before this at my studio.
Yeah.
And Noel didn't say one complimentary thing about the studio.
Here we go. Not one thing.
On mic.
Okay.
You had plenty to say off mic, but you didn't. And also, I thought, you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's back home. He's a little shell-shocked. He's back home now. Maybe he'll say something today. He didn't say one complimentary thing to the space that I have created out of nothing.
Listen.
Out of nothing. No, what did I say? I said I want to end the episode with me getting the last word in.
I'm going to say something next episode. I'll say something next episode.
I hope you will. And the thing is I want you to really simmer on this, dude.